Hey, everybody. I didn't see you there. Welcome back for another episode Behind the Paywall with Ballin' Out Gundam Times. Ready?
Go!
Featuring Struggle Session. Struggle Session is here.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
We're delighted to have you on this wondrous 420. Let's introduce everybody. I'm your host, Alex Patak. I'm here with my left-hand man, Jeremy Hammond, because that's where he is in the Zoom chat for me.
You're on my left. I'm looking at the you're on my left.
No, trust me. You're my left-hand man. You're on my left.
No, you're my left-hand man.
You're an insidious actor, always on my left, Jeremy Hammond. And my other partner in crime, on my right, we have Katie Rose Leon. Every rose has its thorns.
Who's on left?
Jeremy's on... I cannot be any more clear about who is on my left. Yes, agreed. Okay. Special guest anime expert of the Struggle Session podcast, Emma Bowers. Emma, thanks for coming.
Oh, no, I can't hear her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Emma, your sound. We were going so strong.
Yeah.
All right. How's it? Yay.
All right. Oh, you hit the off button.
Yeah. Oh, I'm way more high than I thought.
Alex, I don't think
people's
Alex
mouths are moving.
I don't think Alex can steer the ship.
I can steer the ship. Hold on. Okay. There's one more. There's one more. One more special guest. He's a founding member of the Struggle Session podcast, the infamous internet warrior. Welcome, Leslie Lee III. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, especially after I am infamous today because I'm the first person to ever be canceled for vibes. If people haven't seen that thing, yeah. So I'm thank you so much.
What happened?
I guess everybody is in quarantine and not online. Yeah, I got canceled. Somebody got mad at me about Star Wars and said I had crypto fascist transphobe vibes, and they tried to cancel me
for about CIA Star Wars.
Vibes. Star Wars. Yes.
Wait, does that mean you're pro crypto fascism or anti crypto?
Pro.
What?
Okay, so you're
transphobe vibe. I think they were just saying I was black and I didn't take their bullshit. I think that's basically what that means.
Because you don't like Star Wars?
The Last Jedi specifically.
I mean, Star Wars is dumb.
Who's trans in The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
I was wondering. But yeah, thank you so much for having me, even after my moment of shame.
But is there a trans character in The Last Jedi?
No. People are just losing their fucking minds because of quarantine. Yeah.
Can you consider the Force Dyad a version of being trans?
No.
All right.
It really
next Star Wars question. Welcome back to the Star Wars podcast. Every week.
Yeah, next
we
Star
have
Wars
the
question. Whatever happened to the pod that was in the middle of the Millennium Falcon's teeth? Where'd that thing go?
Where did that go?
We're done. I hate talking about Star Wars.
Star Wars is corrupting.
Capsule.
It is a staph infection. It turns the most decent human beings into just insane monstrosities. It's like you are having a meltdown every other week about who is or who isn't smooching who. Please. I can't even go outside or, do some charity because you can't do that.
I'm of the belief that people can like whatever even if it's bad, but it's just weird to me when queer community rallies around a product made by straight capitalists.
This is
my representation. I'm like,
straight capitalists.
It is. And I hate this shit. And it's like, can Kylo Ren be pansexual and have Asperger's syndrome? No, because Disney. Sorry.
Also, he's not real.
Yeah. wait, hold on.
That's
hold
very
on.
Controversial to say.
What'd you say?
That's very controversial.
Can't be gay.
Ansel, KRL, Kylo Ren is not real. I had to say it.
We're back again at our regular statement, Katie, against the worldwide snake of straight capitalism.
You know me.
Looking for a lady snake to put its double-sided penis into.
Yeah. I only support gay capitalism. I want a lady in a blazer gentrifying my neighborhood. I'm like, yes, empowerment.
This reminds me of the Greek myth of the Ouroboros, the snake that sucks itself off.
I can't believe that looks from my fan fiction.
What the fuck, guys?
Yeah, what's new? What's go? What anime is you guys watching?
Wait. So this is, we have guests here.
Yeah, they don't know.
This
what's
is up. A special place. Emma listens behind the paywall. I know that. I'm not gonna interrogate you, Leslie. But I'm assuming even if you do listen to this show, you're not regularly watching the 1994 classic G Gundam.
No, I am not. In fact, I will say this: this is probably the first time I really actively watched any Gundam. I think I vaguely recall like seeing it on TV because some versions played on TV in the US and I would watch like an episode or two here. But yeah, this is my first time. The 13th episode of from what I understand is one of the lesser series of Gundam. And I just want to thank you, Alex, so much for inviting me on.
Nobody else wants to watch this one anymore. It's just me.
Thank you, Alex, for giving our esteemed guests this dog shit sandwich to eat with their eyes.
This is probably, from what I can tell, the worst series of Gundam they have ever made.
This episode made the most sense out of anything we've watched. If that
is not true, that is 100% untrue.
Okay. It was one of the more followable episodes.
It was more cohesive than normal.
There was a part where people were throwing trains at each other in a big train arena. What are you talking about,
Alex? And this made more sense to me than most of the show.
Well, I think you are correct about that, Katie, because I looked at the Wikipedia to, you know, get a kind of gist of what's going on in this series, and this episode by far had the shortest description. It's like 1.5 sentences. It's like Domo goes and he gets ambushed by 5 guys, and that's kind of it.
That's it. Yeah.
At least Leslie planned it. I was just gonna, because when you had me on for the Dragon Ball episode, I felt like, oh, like I'm coming at like, you know, like S rank with like all these like baby comedians who like watched an episode of Pokemon, and I was like, no, I'm gonna do the opposite. I'm not even gonna like look this all up. I came in blind. And yeah, something trains and a girl puts on a uniform and it's kind of creepy when she's doing it.
The uniform hurts. That's part of it. That's been in the show before. The uniform is painful.
I want to remember, it's so tight.
It's too tight.
When Domo,
you think she's the engineer and she could fix it.
Yeah. When Domo puts it on in the show, when he gets a sequence, he's equally as objectified. So truly, this is the Avery Jeselnik.
Okay, good. Because I was worried getting seeing some like weird like Kill la Kill vibes. Like, what's this? There's some weird innuendo that goes from funny to maybe a little sketchy. But if it's a guy like
whizzing, sketchy.
This was hornier than usual. Okay, I will say that. This is a hornier episode than we usually get.
All right, I was expecting Domo to like have the same thing of his crotch like thrashing the camera like, oh,
Domo
tight.
Does not have a penis is the only thing. He's sexualized except for that one part of him. But have you seen any Gundam series before, Emma?
I had that like thing that all like teenagers do. I had like a hardcore Gundam Wing phase. So that's the only one I'm like familiar with.
That's part of the American school system.
Yeah. So
that's part of Common Core.
Yes. Common Core. So Gundam Wing, I tried to branch up a little bit to get some AP credits. Couldn't finish up Iron Blood Orphans. Maybe got 5 episodes in and lost interest. My partner watched Gundam Thunderball or something. What the jazz music? Music all the time. It's like people getting sucked into the vacuum of space. And it's like, rah, 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 rah. Gundam, I was kind of wasted, so I don't remember what was going on there.
Gundam Thunderball is the sequel to Gundam Goldfinger, and you cannot watch it if you haven't seen the other Gundam movies.
Oh, and from Neo Russia with Love.
Yeah, from Neo Russia with Love. Gundam Moonraker. Although, in a way, every one of the series is about Gundam Moonraker because the moon is used as a weapon.
The first episode of Gundam Wing is called, is something with like Fell from the Sky or something like that, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so Skyfall.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Alex, edit that in. Edit in that it's like Skyfall.
Run the ball a little bit. Yeah, anyways, Emma, would you believe that this is the series that comes directly before Gundam Wing?
Yes, because it doesn't make any sense, and the boys are kind of pretty, but not as pretty. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously kind of that like thing of they all have different nationalities too. So, I believe you.
The studio that made this was a subsidiary of the same one that made Cowboy Bebop, and I'm like, how the fuck did that happen?
Oh, geez. Shocking stuff.
Wow. This is,
insane.
They did the thing I do sometimes when I do a script, and I'm like, let's do a bad one. It'll be funny. But they actually like have a team and an economy behind them and stuff. I guess that's the difference.
Or they do that thing before you start podcasting where you say all the dumb and bad stuff that you can't say on air just to like get it out of the way before you hit record.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Except this time they actually hit record.
Yeah, because this show is, for lack of a better term, kind of bonkers. Mm-hmm. There's an announcer with an eye patch narrating the one-on-one battles that are both martial arts and giant robots fighting at the same time. There's like a nigger throwing around like trains and shit in the middle of it. Like, I do not know what the fuck was going on in this episode. Like, and then there's a guy named Jiminy Cricket, from what I understand.
Oh, Chibody. He's from the United States.
So yeah, he represents us.
He's an original character, like Barry Bouse or Ronald Rock.
we all cross our hearts when we see Chibody Crockett.
Wait, huge detail. Leslie, I don't know if you caught this, the announcer with the eye patch. There is an eye underneath.
Oh.
He's not disabled.
No, it's just an aesthetic.
You think Chibody Crockett?
Dan Crenshaw. He's like faking it like Dan Crenshaw.
Jiminy Crockett was throwing trains at Domo because he was mad because he didn't give up his seat for him once on the train.
Yes.
Is Jiminy Crockett pregnant?
He did serve his world government, so.
Okay, I don't want to get too deep into this specific episode yet. I just thought we should check in as a primer where everyone is Gundam-wise. This episode is set on a timer because I ate an edible as it started. So around 1 hour in, I will be unable to host the podcast anymore.
Yeah, the end of this is going to be very interesting because we're both probably going to hit it about the same time.
Alex, those are rookie numbers. I ate an edible about 90 minutes ago. I'm good to go. I'm wrong.
Yeah. Oh, no.
This is like the opposite of Crank.
If I'm not driving the bus, then who is?
I feel like poor baby because I haven't touched any of my stash because I'm like literally like the zoo drug test. That's all I'll say. So
fascist. I've been zoological fascist.
Yes, zoological fascist. And so after the zoo got closed, I was like, oh boy, oh boy. And then I realized I have no one I can contact down here. And even if I did, it violates social distancing. So hence the wine.
Damn, that sucks. You should get the monkeys high. Can you do that?
Technically, yes. Ethically, no.
A democratic answer, Emma.
My delivery place now goes through WhatsApp, so I think if you send them your address, maybe they'll come down to Georgia for you. If you order more than $200, I think they'll make the trip.
I just want to see some dressed up like Sam Porter Bridges making it to my door. That's ranting motherfucker. He's like, your 5 suitcases of weed. Look, the hologram of me. Thank you.
My weed place now works like fucking like James Bond's tech equipment. Like you tell them what you want and they give it to you in a box, like leaving it at the door, and you just find out what it is when you open it.
Loot box.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's high tech now.
I don't like having strangers in my house before this all happened. So I always had someone do it for me because I don't like just having a man in my home. I don't know what to do now. So I'm gonna have to go in on with you, or no, because you're so far away. Shit, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if we're in your delivery zone. Would you guys believe that I've been getting high off of the same exact supply of edibles that I brought back from California a year and a half ago?
Oh wow,
not that much back.
Oh okay.
I'm still running through it.
How do you stay so chill all the time?
Jeremy, I'm imagining like that gag in like Mickey Mouse where they have to like cut the little bean and it's little thin, like a little thin slice.
Just a tiny little hobo before the knife.
But it's like a gummy bear.
Yeah, we're all gathered. We're all gathered around the barrel.
At some point in the next 45 minutes, I'll have one crazy thought.
Oh, behind the paywall. What's up? How's everyone?
What the fuck
quarantine?
Is up?
What the fuck is up?
What do we usually talk about here? Oh, Jeremy, did you find any good articles this week, or are we skipping it?
Oh, I could do that. You guys stall for a minute. I'll find one.
I want to pull out all the stops for our guests here.
Yeah.
We could do a sex email.
Oh, you know what? Even better. It's 4:20 today that we're recording, by the way. This will be out in a couple of days. But Emma, you've probably heard this before. Leslie, you probably haven't. We do a segment sometimes where we go to this website called animematch.com, which is a dating website for anime fans.
Nine people on there, and I'm one of them.
And Katie is one of them. That's an important part of the story.
And in case you're wondering, the age range does go down to 14.
Oh, no.
quite tsundere.
But they have this they have a blog section of the site called Anime News. And what's on Anime News, you may ask? Yes, of course, news about upcoming dubs of anime and new series and whatever. But also fun little articles like 5 scientific facts. Is smoking weed bad or not? 420, baby.
Hard hitting investigative journalism.
What are some important things to get out about Anime Match is the news is never news. If there is a number, it is not usually the number they say at the start. And we think they are all written by one insane person who usually just wants to say things about his opinions on races or women.
How or his daughter.
Oh.
Yeah. Although I'm starting to theorize stepdaughter.
Oh.
I do not think he has custody of this daughter anymore.
Yeah.
No.
It's either a stepdaughter or like someone he's dating's daughter in the past, I feel. Or there. I don't know what their deal is. I still feel the gender. Well, it's probably a dude, I feel.
It's definitely a dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
there's
rock.
No woman who says the fellas.
I call you guys the fellas, but in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way, because, you know, I'm just so
yeah.
funny.
You always take a big spit on the ground after you say it.
Yeah. That's why I mean, you guys all heard when I was on the Whiskey Brothers podcast. That's why they had me on, because I'm just like a relatable kind
of
Oh,
girl. You know those guys?
Yeah, I know. You know, I'm like really cool. And they had me on because I'm the only woman that eats steak in America.
All right. Let's get into this. When it comes to this topic, there aren't any right or wrong answers. At least they're not 100%. So in this 5 scientific facts, is smoking weed bad or not post, we'll give you some hard facts that you'll be able to chew on.
Okay, before Jeremy gets through it, Alex, in your estimation, how many number facts are going to appear in this article?
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
4. I say 4. Everything but the...
I think it's going to be 3, but they're going to keep being broken down into several sub quotes like they do, and then he's gonna lose interest and trail off.
So it'll be closer to around 12.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right. Some folks claim that it makes you fat. Others claim it makes you lose weight. Then there's the theory that weed helps your body fight various diseases, or maybe it affects your nervous system. Let's go ahead and try to answer at least some of the most popular questions. Please note that science is hazy on the subject. But it's always better to know
Purple
some basic
hazy.
Things about weed than to be completely blind.
I'm blind with weed. Okay, the first joke was better, but he was still talking.
Okay, so 5 scientific facts. Is smoking weed bad or not? Number 1, it's capable of hurting your blood vessels.
It's capable?
This is what they tell you in school.
How is this possible? According to the American Heart Association, secondhand smoke is not as innocent as most of us initially thought. Tests on rats proved that the ones inhaling weed had slower arteries for approximately 1 hour and 30 minutes. Alternatively, when the poor brutes inhaled tobacco smoke, everything went back to normal.
The poor brutes.
Can I just ask before we keep going, has anybody heard the rumor that weed hurts your arteries specifically before? This is not
Hey, this is not rumor. This is fact. This is scientific fact. And the solution is that you have to smoke a cigarette immediately after, and then your arteries go back to normal.
Please don't let this information go unnoticed. The more people smoke, the more they increase the chance of clogged arteries, which can lead to all kinds of problems, including death.
They really skipped a few steps there.
All right, number two, your short-term memory is also in danger.
Oh, no.
You do know that the stoners have a bad reputation when it comes to clear thinking and remembering things, right?
The stoners.
Well, as science claims, that's actually backed up by real-world tests. We're not saying that you'll completely lose your memory if you smoke every single day, but the threat is there, and it's real.
Was this, by the way, was this written on 420?
Oh, good question. I don't think I can see the date that these come out.
They probably post them en masse.
Not relevant. They hootsuite these, you're saying?
All right. So I have a question about the last one. So what was the fact? Did they cite any evidence to show that your short-term memory suffers, or did they just cite?
No, they said science claims.
Science.
As science claims, that's actually backed up by real-world tests.
It's science. Okay.
They did two different fake.
Vote blue no matter who. And I love science.
I fucking love science.
Fucking love science. It states that smoking makes you dumb.
Makes you dumb. Okay, number three. It's not that great for creative people.
Okay, friend.
Stay in your fucking lane, anime match boy.
What do you think is smoking weed?
I just, like all of these, I'm confused as to what the structure is, because it seems like he's taking myths and dispelling them, but instead they're just like whatever thought he has, and then he tells you whether science has covered it.
Usually when we ask ourselves, is smoking weed bad or not? The images of recording artists, parentheses, rappers mostly, come to mind.
Loaded statements.
Not the literal generation of fucking hippies. That
They believe that the kush helps them concentrate on their art more and gives the necessary inspiration to make music. However, recent studies show that stoners can't compete with sober people in solving problems. Not to say that it has much to do with creativity, but that dampening effect is still there.
What problems are they?
Not a fact.
Yeah.
Not a fact. You can't use problem solving and say creative people aren't more creative on it. That's not a fact. In fact, Jesus Christ.
Leslie, the dampening is still there. The dampening is there.
He ends it by saying, this has nothing to do with creativity. Why did you start it with, this is bad for creative people?
Why the dampening not is there.
Why not say it's bad for problem solving?
What the fuck? Yeah, it's not that great for project managers.
Yeah, project managers, engineers, other fucking losers.
Yeah.
But weed is good for everyone else.
All right, number four. It's actually good for your bones.
I've never heard that.
I had to respond to a work text. I wasn't trying to be rude.
Oh, it's good for your bones.
Oh, Katie, it's good for your bones.
It's actually good for your bones. I heard you.
Yeah.
That's why no one can break your bones. You're not superpowered.
You know, the amount of weed I smoke, I should be like running around like some My Hero Academia motherfucker, like walls.
If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you should know there was a good 30 or 40 episodes when we were starting where it was a hazing thing. I would try to break everyone's bones who came on. Could never get Katie's. Yeah.
All right. Yep, you heard it. Despite the fact that weed is generally bad, it does have some positive side effects as well. Don't take their word for it, but some scientists in Tel Aviv claim that cannabis can help your bones recover faster.
Okay. The number of Palestinians who had to die for this information to come out. Meanwhile, at the Kush Laboratory.
Jesus Christ.
Tests were done on mice and weed proved to be a great remedy for them. Okay, number five. We got to five. Weed makes people more vulnerable to Alzheimer's disease.
I have heard, this is the only one of these I've heard.
The bottom line is, if you don't want a faded mind and prefer to always stay sharp, stop smoking like a chimney. Smokers run the risk of developing low blood flow, especially to the vital organs, like the brain, thus making themselves easy targets for Alzheimer's. So is smoking weed bad? Absolutely. Right. End of article. This is the only one that's ever concluded.
Yeah, that was actually one of the best endings we've ever heard on this website.
It concluded. It did have five bullet points. I don't know if they were facts necessarily.
No.
I do hypothesize that AnimeMatch.com's Phantom Rider got turned down heartily from a fair maiden who smoked too much of the reefer, and he was thus scorned.
Cracked.com didn't want my five crazy weed facts. I think just structurally alone, that is the best article we have read on this website.
Probably, yeah. It's usually just like, four facts. Do women have titties? Number
is
one,
Santa Asian? Sure.
Why are daughters rude? A 7-beat breakdown.
You know what he always does, though, and I do respect this, is he crams the SEO in there.
Yes,
he says the article title 20 times.
He really wants to make sure that this... Actually, I wonder if I just Google this title...
Well, it's going to come up because your computer knows that you visit AnimeMatch.com.
Yeah, we need to get mice to do this.
Damn.
And then we'll know if
it's not number one, though.
Alex, why do you want to torture those brutes any further?
Damn. Number one is drugabuse.gov.
You fucking narc.
Followed by AnimeMatch. Yeah.
That's just your homepage, baby.
Oh, no. No, no one was supposed to know that.
You could tell I'm getting a little high because I was looking for an insult and I was like, baby. That's right, daddy-o. That's where you go back to roost. Oh, boy.
Oh, wait, Alex. We got to do, Alex, did you learn any Japanese this week?
Oh. I did think of a Japanese phrase for this week. Katie, would you like to sing the Japanese Alex theme song?
Okay, I have to remember it. Okay. Kokoro sodasne, Alex is going to speak Japanese today.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie. That song by Katie Rose Leon, listener to the show, longtime caller. So every week I share a Japanese phrase I've learned in the first 30 lessons of Pimsleur's Japanese lessons.
Pimsleur, cool. It's good.
Old Dr. Pimsleur himself cracked the code to speaking this language, and he shares it with me every night. Now, Leslie actually lived in Japan for a while, so he objectively is more qualified to lead Japanese Alex than I am. But I thought of a good phrase we could maybe do today. Last week we did Wachoto, which we all know and love. Wachoto.
Maybe Wachoto.
Choto. No, we love Choto? Alex's bad pronunciation.
A big part of the charm of this is that even if Alex is fluent in Japanese, no one's ever going to believe that he's speaking the language.
This week, having come across a few phrases but running out of top tier ones, I was starting to get kind of hopeless about my search. And that's when I remembered the Japanese phrase, shigata ga nai.
Uh-huh.
Which is I'm getting a little high, but it's something like
it can't be helped.
It can't be helped.
I don't think people. I don't know if that's the more proper way to say it. Most people say shogunai, and so shogunai. Everyone, please, shogunai. Say
shogunai.
No?
Shogunai.
Shogunai. And that usually means it can't be helped. There's nothing to be done. So if you're walking up to maybe Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and saying that we should lock down in order to prevent the coronavirus running rampant through the country, he would say to you, Shogunai.
Shogunai.
There's nothing to be done about it. We're just going to let it happen.
So, sumimasen, the country is a bit wachotto. And then he would trail off.
So I learned this, and it made me laugh. Like last year, I had a friend in town. He's living in Japan currently, and him and his wife were in town. And his wife speaks like, you know, a little bit of English, but mostly like he's translating for her. And I said shit show, and there's no word for shit show. So he had to look at her and be like, "Daihen desu ne."
Damn, so
I was thinking
y'all.
About that. Yeah.
Like, the only other reason I thought of Shogunai or Shigatogunai is because it's in the Kim Stanley Robinson book, Red Mars. Any of you guys read Red Mars?
I started reading it. It's very good so far. Everybody should pick it up because he's one of the few sci-fi authors currently living today with actual good politics.
Oh, wow.
It's true. Yeah. His only fault being that he loves describing rocks. He will do it. For 20 to 30 minutes on end.
Frankly, though, like given the fact that I grew up reading Heinlein, I'd rather like someone spend too much time describing rocks than like the body of a prepubescent child. Honestly, like seriously,
that's true. There are prepubescent children in the books, but he's like, you know what they look like, and we're moving on. And now this rock.
Speaking of sci-fi and other languages, my favorite story is when I first moved back to New York in 2016. This Russian guy was moving all my boxes in from the moving truck, and he saw that I was unloading my books, and he saw that I had like a Asimov collection, and he goes, "Oh, Fantastics, that's my favorite." I'm like, "Word, it is fantastic." He's like, "No, Fantastics." I'm like, oh.
Russian people really
Oregon,
like respect so. Isaac Asimov. Is that a thing?
Wait, say it again.
Do Russian people really respect Isaac Asimov? Is that a thing?
No, they call sci-fi fantastics.
Oh, I didn't even get that. And Katie, we'll be hosting your own learning Russian segment starting next week.
That's literally the only thing I know is that, and then pretend you don't see their mob doing shit in the Polish neighborhood. Anyway, we need to talk about this episode before the edibles take your brain away, because I realize you're the one who wrote down the notes.
I did write down the notes, and that's, and honestly, they're not very descript this week because I was eating food while I took them. Okay. We started roughly on time, so that means we're around 30 minutes in. Good point, Katie. I think it's time to step into the mobile suit for another great episode of Mobile Fighter G Gundam. So this is episode 13. As you remember, last week we introduced the show to a powerful new character, Domon's teacher, the formidable Master Asia.
Yes.
Master Asia is one of the few martial artists to master not only the techniques of the East, but also those of the Acme Corporation and the Bugs Bunny clan. So he does things like runs around and like will punch inside of a full mobile suit's gun while going, and then it will just like explode.
Yeah.
Is this the guy who's kind of like a daddy-esque figure with the old boulder guy?
Yes, Master Asia is daddy.
Yeah, okay.
The one who's playing with like the scarves and shit.
Yeah. All right. I was like, who's that guy? He's daddy.
Okay. Yeah, the guy who parries a missile with his scarf. That's the first thing he does in the show. And I said out loud to my wife, she thought something was wrong with me, what the fuck?
I need you to know this is low on the list of cartoonish shenanigans done by Master Asia. In the last episode, he literally took his finger and plugged up a gun that blew up in the guy's face.
Oh, geez.
My favorite thing he did this episode was poke a Gundam's eyes in like it was one of the fucking
like he was Curly.
Yeah, like he was one of the Curly brothers.
The Curly brothers, yeah.
The Curly
good
brothers.
Good job, Alex. Yeah. Keep going.
36 minutes. I ate a big meal. The edible can't be moving that fast. Okay. The episode is entitled Big Trouble, Domon versus the Big Five. Now, the Big Five, we know some of them from previous episode. It's Ford.
Chrysler.
Lexus. Come on, there's two more. Dodge. Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
Big Five auto companies. They ruined LA. Think of it. Curly.
And Curly, yeah.
So Domon's going to be fighting the Big Five. The announcer comes in and he says, for some reason, due to a mix-up at the Gundam factory, Domon will be fighting these other characters you've met in previous episodes. And we see, who do we see? We see Chibity Crockett. Yeah. We see Sai Saichi. Neo-China's fighter. Argo Kolsky, the Russian fighter.
George de Gaulle.
And George St. Pierre. The French one whose last name we can never remember. And then
Domon is number five of the Big Five?
No, the fifth one is a mysterious bat-shaped Gundam. Mm. And we don't know who this is. We don't know how he got in here. But he is causing a heck of a lot of trouble. And for some reason, they are in charge of the Dark Army, which means it's probably, and this is unprecedented, somehow related to the Dark Gundam. There was some sort of Dark Gundam type object, as they're fond of saying on this show.
Yeah. The big Gundam with the horns and the bat wings might be a Dark Gundam.
It's definitely also its only move so far is Dark Finger.
Yeah,
it's kind of a bad sign. It might be related.
If you are shaped like a bat, you might be a Dark Gundam.
You might be a Dark Gundam. That's what they say. All right, so the episode starts, and Tokyo has been destroyed due to this goddamned Dark Gundam, which is just a plague on all of the G Gundam universe. And only one building is left standing. This is just what we remember from last episode. And everyone, all the resistance fighters, Master Asia, Domon, Rain, and then a lot of people whose names we never learn, they're all in there. And they're planning what to do. And it looks a lot like the Star Wars scene in episode 4 when they're like planning the attack on the Death Star. Mm-hmm. Did you guys get that vibe?
I did not get a Star Wars vibe from any of this. No.
And you would know, wouldn't you?
I think I would.
From your before
life. You little crypto-fascist, you.
Which hierarchies did this remind you of, Leslie?
Because, like, they're in a classroom, first of all, right, when they're doing the plan. Like, it's like a real classroom. I was kind of surprised because the city is all, like, fucked up, and I guess it's supposed to be, like, post-apocalypse, but they still have, like, a fully functioning, like, community college.
What happened is every building in all of Tokyo except the one building they're in was suddenly destroyed.
Oh. Convenience.
It's a reverse 9/11.
Only the Twin Towers left standing.
The Twin Towers survived, and we all go there every day.
And that's why every pizzeria has a painting of the World Trade Center. It's the only building you could depict.
There are Twin Towers in this. It's two towers with a little thing in the middle, but it is two towers.
That's true. Maybe it's an allusion to something. What did they know? And when did they
What did they know and when? This is like Deus Ex all over again.
Where was the Dark Gundam on 9/11?
A copy of this series was found on Osama bin Laden's computer. They raided this place.
Do you guys remember that with Deus Ex, though? That game?
Yeah.
And that, like, they... I guess it was in New York, and they didn't render the World Trade Center, and everyone was like... How did they know that in the future there wouldn't be a World Trade Center? And they're like, it just was helpful not to render it with the memory and problems. And everyone's like, well, that's satisfying. I guess that's an answer.
So for this briefing, because we have to tackle one issue at a time here, in this terrible universe, they get a transmission. And this is from a building that hasn't been active in years, which does go against the other narrative they were saying last episode that there are no more buildings. There's apparently a radio building somewhere else in town, and it's sending out transmissions of beautiful French-like piano. And they don't know why or what it is, but they know that somebody must be in there playing the piano so that they have to go save them from these goddamn dark mobile Gundams, which have taken over the city and are a damn pox on our population.
Yeah.
And
and we see that it's Charles St. Pierre playing the...
Yeah, they show us, but the other guys don't know. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea.
And so they're like, it's a piano. It must be, you know, an SOS signal.
Right.
Which is a weird assumption to make.
Well, you know, everyone's mind was poisoned by Evangelion. So they're like, if there's just like a phantom piano, you better go check it out because something bad's happening.
It's just really impressive that this show takes every opportunity it could have to be a better show and is like, no, just show it. So we get the transmission and Master Asia listening to the meeting is like, you guys aren't going to like it, but I have a crazy fucking idea.
Let's get
I'm going to go in. Let's get fucking hot.
Let's get fucking loose.
I'm going to go in there alone. Mono a mono.
Times we had shenanigans in college, Domo. And like, yeah. Like, oh yeah, tell me about it. He's like, shut up, you're not part of this.
You're not, you weren't there. I didn't know you in college.
You went to state.
You were hanging out with that other boyfriend I murdered 3 episodes ago. Master Asia's plan is to go in alone against the entire army with him and Domon because they can sneak past all the sneaky traps. And Domon, who is missing a father figure because his father is in a coma, is like, yes, this is all I want. Secret boys trip. We're going to go and we're going to do secret boy stuff.
Wait a minute. So his father is still alive, just in the coma, and he's getting the surrogate father.
Well, yeah, he's in a coma because of the damn Dark Gundam. But
fair, when his dad was alive, he was sent away to train with Master Asia for most of his life.
Yeah. I'm the best fighter in all of the Catholic Church, Domo. he's in charge of Domo. They have a special bond. We can't understand, wink, wink.
So is the G at the end of this, does that stand for grooming?
Yes, it does.
It stands for Gundam.
Yeah, in all seriousness, the G before Gundam, it stands for Gundam.
this is like how like everyone calls it the La Brea Tar Pits, but technically you're just saying the Tar Pits.
Exactly.
the Gundam.
Now, there is reason to be concerned because Rain has looked at this radar chart and nobody wants them to go. And she's like, there are 4 Gundams around the tower and you two are going to go in alone. And then this is dialogue I wrote down. One of the lookers on is like, yep, they're definitely Gundam fighters. Which at this point you would know because the only thing they do is they Gundam fight.
Nothing else ever happens on this show.
It's ceaseless Gundam fighting.
It's not like Gundam Wing. You never take a break for fencing or anything like that.
But what I felt was these weren't like real Gundam fights. It was more like a fucking like almost like Power Rangers maybe because they're just doing like martial arts in the suits and like half the shots are them like doing all these martial arts move in the suit and then you pull back and see whatever the Gundam did. So it doesn't really even feel like a large scale giant robot fight.
Yeah, I will say that like the suit within the suit thing where you like do the move and then the robot does the same move kind of really defeats the purpose of a giant robot in a lot of ways, because what's cool about the Gundam Wing guys is that they're doing precise battle movements using like hand cranks and buttons and stuff, and you're like, whoa, like they know how to do the crank so well that they can make them like do that.
It's not cool that you
punch and then the guy punches.
Also, the whole you move and the Gundam moves whole thing falls apart this episode because in 2 or 3 separate occasions, Rain or Domon will be inside of the Gundam doing stuff and the Gundam will just be doing its own thing unrelated.
Right. But then also having Rain in the Gundam kind of highlights the fact that it's like, it's not that Domon is particularly special in any way. Like, clearly anybody could just get in the goop and then they're a Gundam pilot.
Hey, we have a lot of fun here, but you have to admit, Domon is the King of Hearts, officially. He's been granted the King of Hearts title, and we have to respect that. And the King of Hearts, a thing we all know, and we know what it means.
We know what it means, we know what it does, and why it's important.
Do you guys know what that means?
No.
Because he kept mentioning it. Oh, God.
Absolutely not.
We barely know who his brother in the torn picture is. Yeah. It's been 15 episodes.
So there are four high power Gundams readings on the map.
Yeah, the Gundams have power levels now.
These are high power level Gundams.
They have a fucking scouter, and they're like, that's...
To be clear, they're not high power level. They're mobile suits with power levels similar to Gundams.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when Piccolo will be like, that feels like Goku out there. And you're like, sure, I don't know what that tangibly means.
Yeah, whatever. They just introduce that concept out of nowhere. And even Master Asia at one point is like, do you sense that? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Literally every episode now has like some new thing that they're just like, and by the way, this is in the show too.
I'm thinking the Chernobyl. It's like, what's the Gundam rating? 3. Oh, that's not good, not bad. No, it only goes up to 3.
3 out of 3. And the thing is, too, it's not just this radar, because the second they say there's 4 mobile suits with the power of Gundam levels, Domon goes, we've never seen that before. And it's like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
That's all
you see.
That gave me the impression that like Gundams were a very special and rare type of mobile suit. But is that incorrect in that a mobile suit is just the Gundam? They're all the same thing.
Well,
none of the country has one.
Every country has one in this, and it seems like there's no major issue with like making them, because there's like a graveyard of Gundams in one episode. There's like later on, Master Asia's horse has a Gundam. There's a lot of like they're thrown around, but like in Gundam Wing, like in later iterations of this, they do flesh out the idea that like it's a special metal that they're made of that can only be like properly used in space. So, like, you can only build a Gundam on a space station. It's like a whole thing later, but with this, no,
in this
it just
show,
means very big mobile
suit. Nice Gundam. Yeah. Really good Gundam.
Mitzvah, and they give you a ticket to Israel and a Gundam.
Yes.
You open a box and you're like, a watch? And it's like, it's not just a watch, it's a Gundam.
Yeah, your Uncle Barry, who works at like at a tailor's shop, he's actually building Gundams.
5 years later, like, people are giving you shit and you just try to like, oh, I don't know, I don't have any like real political opinion on it. I just know I had a lot of fun. I got to ride a Gundam.
I rode a Gundam and I made some lifelong friends that I will make other chosen Gundams with.
Listen, whatever the Gundam factory wants to do to the Evangelion factory, like I just have nothing to do with that.
So, I mean, long story short, we're about to embark on an incredible adventure. There's 4 high-power Gundams, and they're going to go out in duos as a father and son type team. And so they go out there, and Master Asia immediately sees, like, 40 Gundams, and he kills them all with Bugs Bunny kind of antics. He does everything but dress up as a lady this episode. And then seduce them with a big smooch, and then surprise, I'm Master Asia. But he's out there with Domon, and he kills a bunch of Gundams, and he's like, now, Domon, I'm going to sneak into the sewers. No Gundam, just me in the sewers. And they're
just
like, why?
Raw dog.
He's like, I can't, there's no time. And he goes into the sewers.
So this is the part where he's just like, just stay with the Gundam, Rain, right? And it's
no,
like,
I wrote this down. He like jukes out Rain.
He breaks Rain, their anchor. He was like Barry Sanders out there. Fucking up Rain.
Doing like fucking step overs and shit.
Rain, Domon's love interest and stay at home intern, is begging Domon not to leave the Gundam behind and go into the sewers alone for no reason. And he's like, Rain, I'm gonna do it. And she's like, don't. And he's like, oh, did you check the springs? And she's like, what? The springs? And then he's just gone.
He's like, skirt.
Insane, this series of events in which he just leaves her with the Gundam and then is later shocked when people attack the Gundam. Like, it's literally, you're in the middle of a international worldwide Gundam fight competition in which a Gundam fight can happen literally at any time. So even if there wasn't a dark plot, like what if Neo Amsterdam just showed up and like knocked out the knees? Like,
and aside from that, they're already doing the Black Hawk Down mission before before he leaves the Gundam. So his life is a danger before he leaves his like love of his life behind.
I like his reasoning for leaving the Gundam behind is because Master Asia challenged him to a race. And if he uses the Gundam to beat Master Asia, it won't count. So presumably he should just go out there and allow himself to be murdered by what these five Gundam that he knows out there rather than like lose face to Master Asia in this completely pointless race.
Master Asia is a man and he needs his respect. And when two men wrestle without their clothes on, that's just a show of strength, okay? That's just two men enjoying each other's raw power. Rain.
It's all nosh rolls. So Domo, needless to say, runs right into the sewers or the subway because
it's the subway, yeah. And he asks Rain, like, where does this subway go? Do you know if this goes uptown?
And then Rain is like,
she pulls up a map.
She has like a compact with like a map in it.
Little dragon radar, but it tells you all the trains.
Yeah.
It knows where trains are. And then she's like, the map says the city's been destroyed. Why would there be trains? And then he's like, great, no trains. Goes into the subway immediately. Train comes and he goes, it's like it came just for me. And the doors open up. And wouldn't you know it, reading the New York fucking Times.
He brought it from home? Where did he get that?
Is mysteriously evil now Chibbity Crockett. Fan favorite from the Mexico episode.
And the America episode.
And the America episode.
I'm sorry, Leslie.
No, I just want to say, were the makers of this under the impression that Chibbity was a common American name? Because he's supposed to be the Neo-American Gundam guy, so you assume they would name him something like, you know, Jack Hawk, you know, something nice and strong, not Chibbity Crockett. I can assume Crockett is from Miami Vice, but where the fuck did Chibbity come from?
I think it's Jiminy, as in Jiminy Cricket, I think.
Yeah.
But then Crockett is like Davy Crockett.
This show is dog shit. No, that's not it.
He's like a metropolitan American though, with like his like colorful hair and like his fun outfit. But then he's also got the straw in his teeth.
Yeah, he's got fringe all over his body. Here's the most important part, in which America puts its boot on the neck of Neo Japan and sends him out on a moving train. Nothing to read in there.
Gundam has always had this thing, though, in which, like, I don't know. I guess if I was like, I need to look up a name from, like, a country I don't have a huge understanding of, I don't know. I'd go to, like, maybe Wikipedia, find, like, some famous people from there, like, take one name and take a different name. Gundam is always, it's hard to explain. It's like they take a name that almost sounds like an American name, and then they switch out, like peak continent. So it can't be, like, I don't know, Blaze Lively. It has to be like Blave, you know, River Liverly or something.
My old friend, Larms Olmlik.
Yes.
Lom Twos.
Joey Pork.
All right, so there's a lot of action to get through here, so we have to get into
Chibbity. Chibbity has like a new move where like he punches, but he does like a projection of a giant fist.
Yeah, since when do people have like psychic fighting powers?
I think
you remember the start key? It's just like that.
It's like this goddamn
Dark Gundam. This damn Dark Gundam has changed the whole rules of the show in the last five episodes.
We have unlimited trains and we're able to throw them at you for some
reason. Wow, a lot of trains. Gotta say, very funny to me that we're in like this futuristic Gundam world where like people have space stations and like giant robots and shit, but they're still running like 1970s subway cars. They didn't even bother to like try to redesign them at all.
They're the ones you know and love. So Domon is fighting Chibity in the subway car. He doesn't know why he's attacking him or how he got so strong and fast, but he falls out of the back of the train and Chibity is like, ah, zooks, I missed him. Rain, meanwhile, is, I guess, like, tuning the Gundam.
She's pouting in the cockpit because for the 1,000th time, Domo has put her in an impossible situation.
And would you believe it? She is then attacked by the army that lives there.
That was already on its way to attack them when he left.
And she is completely taken by surprise. And she goes, oh, no. And this is split into two scenes, but I'm just going to say it now. She gets into the goo. Because she's like, I have to pilot it. Gomo's not around. I'm going to die. And she does the goo transformation scene you do with the Gundam, but she's never done it before. So the entire time she's like, ow, 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 ow.
She's saying it a lot more sexily.
Yeah, it's definitely more like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
The suit is so tight.
I'm like a baby. I'm like a Gundam baby.
Like saran wrap. Oh, someone cut me out of this.
And she's like pinned to the floor at the end of it too. It's not very graceful for her.
It's a real vac bed situation.
And she somehow ends up with a different color suit at the end.
Yeah, that
because
is never
the goo explained. Knows gender. Because there's two of them. Only
oh, wait.
Two.
Get the girl goo.
Yeah, get the girl.
We need
goo.
The girl goo. It's actually harder than the boy goo.
Some shit that would be in a fucking Harry Potter book.
And again, she designs and updates the Gundam, so she should be like, you know, I gotta less tight on the goo from now on.
Yeah, next episode, Toman's got like baggy suit.
I guess he's not going to say anything because of he's just like that. But that is unacceptable.
Well, you have your working class Gundam pilots, and then you have your hip hop style Gundam pilots with the baggy suits and the gold chains on. The game's just not as good as it used to be.
None of the Gundams are bounce passing the way they used to. So she like fights one or two and like accidentally draws a sword and fights one. She's kind of like Betty Booping it the whole time. Yeah.
She does some shit.
She does great. It's just the whole time she's like, oh no, what's a cacao? You know,
well,
and then
she's
gets
been, like gaslit this whole time thinking that you have to be special to fight a Gundam, but it turns out you can just be literally anyone.
God give me God give me the confidence of a mediocre Gundam pilot.
Not to mention, some people in pretty high positions are related to Kyoji. I don't know if that has anything to do with that fancy job they have. So she's defeated the Gundam army, and she's like, "There, I did it." And then a shadow emerges, and it's the Bat Gundam from before, and she goes, oh no, and then we cut away. But meanwhile, Domon is now on foot in like the subway tracks, you know, like if you did in real life you would die. And
I was about to say, like, he's on the third rail, he's gonna get electrocuted.
There was no visible third rail. That's that I true. Could notice.
Shut the fuck up.
This is a two-railed system up, which would imply overhead wiring, and yet, none to be seen.
This was the improvement on the trains, is they didn't need the third rail anymore.
I wish...
What are they, diesel in a fucking tight tunnel?
I wish the listeners can see how overjoyed Jeremy is to be having this discussion. He's screaming like it's a joke, but he is so fucking excited.
I have to get through the train thing. I have to get through it. So he's on the train tracks and he's running around, and we cut to a monitor room, and Sai Saichi, Neo China's Gundam pilot, he is just sending train after train to hit Domon, and every time he does it, he's like, dodge a train, bro. Nice dodge, bro.
I love it too, where like two trains are speeding towards him after he got in a fight with this dude who's clearly out to get him, and he's like, it's as if someone's trying to hurt me with these trains. There's so many lines in this that are unreal, or like when he hears the explosions of Rain getting attacked and he's like, oh no, I hope they're not attacking Rain. Nah, she's probably fine. Like, what else would be happening, Domon?
My favorite one, and I feel like it's one of those things where in Japanese, it sounds fine, but like if you translate it literally, it's really weird. And it's when he comes on to the guy, not Adrian Brody, someone else is playing the piano, and the guy, and he's like, what are you doing? Why are you playing the piano? And the guy just says, I suppose you want answers to, like, he says it really weird. He's like, I suppose you have a lot of questions you want answers to.
It's definitely a translation error. This episode accomplishes the rare feat of having like an 80-20 split of ridiculous lines to somewhat normal human speech. So it's like the ones you're not hearing are the normal ones. It's pretty special. So Sai Saichi's trying to hit him. Domon is just dodging between trains now, and he comes to this wide open area, like an arena shape, where trains are now shooting out of the walls like missiles.
Yeah, it seems like a boss battle from Smash TV, where they're like, now you're locked in the prize vault, and there's just things shooting at you from all sides. Try to hit them all.
I can't imagine what function that served as a normal train station before that part, but we'll never know now. And so he's dodging all these trains, and he's like, it seems like somebody's trying to hurt me, and who should arrive then? But Neo Russia's Argo Kulski, the prisoner Gundamman.
Gundamman.
And because Chibity is stronger and faster, Argo, who is already stupid strong, can now pick up the trains and throw them.
He's so strong.
I'm just making sure I like saw that correctly.
No, yeah, it was happening.
Yeah, he was picking up full trains. He wasn't very close to doing that before. It was really a moment of surprise. And even Domon is like, I don't understand what this show is anymore. And he just gets out of there. So having emerged from below, he's now, you know, I guess over where the piano guy should be. And he sees George de Gaulle, the French Gundamman. And he's been the one playing the piano, as we knew, because it showed us several times.
Well, he is a dandy, and a dandy must know how to play an instrument.
A dandy must simply know. So he's like, George, why are you playing the piano? And he's like, I bet you're wondering why I'm playing the piano. And then Domon fights four men. All at once.
Like, we're all best friends and we kicked you out of the group chat because you're annoying.
All of his pals, Argo and George and Sai Saichi and Chibity, they're all there and they have psychic powers and he doesn't. And the reason I like this show is because I feel like normally when I'm summarizing an anime, it doesn't quite make sense. But when I do it for this show, it's just because the show didn't make sense and it's actually perfect to my description.
Yeah. Yeah, they keep saying how they've like gotten more powerful since they last saw him. It feels like they're like Instagram flexing on an ex, being like, "Oh, I'm in such great shape now." You are to the curb.
Yeah, I'm like actually doing really great. Like actually, yeah. Like I've been taking Dark Gundam cells and improved my hair and nail growth.
You haven't seen me since I started P90X, bro. It's a little bit different. Ta 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 ta. So Sai Saichi is attacking him with tatas, which, by the way, tatas were not in the show before this episode. Yeah. Either. That's a new thing they started doing.
There's a lot of new information in this episode that I have a feeling will never come up again.
Oh, wait. All right. So I wrote this down. So they're fighting him, and he's like not dead, and he backs off, and he's like, how did you get this strong? And they're like, we met a certain person, and then his picture just falls out of his pocket, and he goes, a certain person? They mean Kyoji. His brother from the picture, except that they never said that or acknowledged him, so it's just like a thing he thought and then said out loud. So Rain falls through the ceiling in the Gundam, and his response is, how'd you get in that Gundam?
And it was more like, why the fuck are you in that Gundam? You're going to get hurt, you weak woman. It's more like that.
I told you can't touch my damn Viper. My dad gave me that Viper. You work for me. And she's like, it's too tight. Why do we make it this tight? And so Domon magically has just escaped. Like, she's fallen through the roof in the Gundam. He hopped in the Gundam and hopped out. And then, ominous laughing, guess what? the other four boys are all in their Gundam, so it's a 4-on-1 Gundam fight, and it does not look good for Domon.
Like, where do they come from? Where are the? You can't just hide a Gundam. They're so big. They're like the size of a building.
Oh. That's where they're in the
room. A word, Alex? A word?
Yeah, we definitely are a little over an hour and the thing's kicking in, but that's fine. So the four Gundam fighters are there and you're thinking that's simply too many. There's no way they can outfight them. But luckily for them, the fifth Gundam, the bat one that we saw that kidnapped Rain earlier, it shows up and then they fight 1-on-1. So actually it wasn't important that the other four were there at all.
They just needed to make a point that his friends are talking behind his back. It's more of a psychological work.
Yeah.
You can never trust anyone in this world.
We're not really involved, but we do want you to know that we hate you. And it's not just in your head. You were purposely not invited to Sai Saichi's brunch because we don't like you.
We invited Bat Gundam.
Yeah. He's got a full wingspan and an air of mystery, unlike some people who overshare.
Oh, I guess before we go into it, what'd you guys think of the Bat Gundam? Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, this show is so ugly. Everything looks like dog shit all the time. Nothing's cool. When something's supposed to be cool, it looks shitty.
Yeah.
Come on.
They just put a hat on a robot and they're like, look, the robot.
Yeah, it looks like fucking Rita Repulsa.
No, it's cool. It's a cool Gundam.
No, other ones, it looks like Argo's Jafar.
Looks like shit. This
looks
one
like fucking
big.
Jafar and Rita Repulsa
It has like a cape that looks heavy. What's up with that? That's nuts.
I mean, it's less ugly than some of the other ones, but it's still ugly.
Yeah, it's like
It's a Malibu Stacy thing. It looks like a regular Gundam, and they put wings on it.
Wings. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It looks kind of like you remember Iria Zerum, the animation.
Yes, holy shit!
His head kind of looks like the monster from that Zerum, the immortal, unstoppable creature.
That was legit the first anime I ever watched.
Oh, I think me too.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah, yeah.
Fate led us here.
God.
Now let's all forget our troubles with a bowl of spaceberry ice cream.
So they have to fight. The Shining Gundam is attacked by a hot new move called the Darkness Finger. You've heard of Shining Finger. If you love the great taste of Shining Finger, you'll love Darkness Finger.
Yeah, that's listed on my fucking FetLife. Give me the Darkness Finger.
It's not clear what it does. It's like a beam of some kind, but it hits Domon and Domon goes, what awesome power.
Yeah, it is more powerful than the Shining Finger, maybe.
Maybe it is. He says this out loud, so this is what you know it's true. And the other thing, too, is the Shining Finger works different every time he uses it. Sometimes it's a sword. Sometimes it's just his hand is hot.
Legitimately do not know what the Shining Finger attack is. It's something different every single time.
Yeah. Well, I think what it is it's like the fingers like open up. There's like vents on them that open, and it's like shooting out like some sort of like hot beam thing, and so sometimes it's just localized to his hand and he's just beaming you right in the face, and then sometimes it goes out further as the sword. I think it's still coming from the same vents though.
Okay, but it shot out this episode, but it wasn't a sword.
Yeah,
it was like a weird, it was like a Gandalf Saruman beam struggle kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that was my best guess.
Well, it's fucking...
Let's go!
Let's go. All right. Okay, so the beams are going back and forth. He says, what terrible and awesome power. I guess, Rain, you should leave. Take the Corlander, the key part of the Gundam we all know that you get in with the Gundam starter key to start the G Gundam, which then allows the goo to come down. We all know this.
This is how a Gundam works.
It's not complicated. It's super easy to follow, and we definitely explained it once.
It's one of those things that it's so simple you don't even have to explain it because people will just know. Yeah. And so he's like, Rain, take the Corlander and leave, and that way one of us will live. And this actually confused me because I thought when the goo comes down that he was in the Corlander, but... I will never know. And so Rain is like, no, I won't. And he's like, no, I think it's a good idea. And then she goes, what if I hold your hand? And then they do some tandem poetry. and they do a double Shining Finger together, and it beats the bat guy's Shining Finger. And
it kind of looks like they're dancing, which I did kind of like that, except then I was like, don't let this one romantic gesture erase the years of emotional torment this man has put you through. But you know, right. Like when she's getting lunch with her space gal pal, she's like, but we did a dance and we did the Shining Finger together. And they're like, girl, that was one time. You know how many anniversaries and birthdays there have been between then and now? Get real.
He's the only one that can do the double Shining Finger. No one else can do it.
Well, you could teach someone the Shining Finger, you. Like, it's not a big deal.
They don't have the weapons training. in a kind of confusing transition, yeah, he's shining fingering it, and then he's thinking, hey, this kind of looks like Master Asia's Gundam, and then he's just telling Master Asia about it, and he's big Gundams over there.
I'm very confused about this. So everyone was confused, right? Was he fighting the Bat Gundam, or was it Master Asia doing an illusion? Like, what the fuck was this?
We should say, by the way, once Master Asia takes the stairs to do a foot race, we never see him again.
Yes. He just pieces the fuck out.
And we know he's not in the piano building, because Tomon gets there and fights four dudes. So where the fuck did he go? I think it's kind of implying that he is up to something no good, but it didn't really say. And Master Asia's like, well, if what you're telling me is true, sounds like there's a lot of Gundams out there.
Yeah. There's like so many Gundams, dog.
Actually, there was no one to save in that building. Ah, never mind. And then the announcer comes on and he's like, yeah, but you're excited about the Bat Gundam thing. Come back and watch more of the show for that. We'll be bringing that one back out. It's a big part of the show now.
I do love that they're trying to do this like arty, like wall breaking thing where it's like, yes, it's me, the narrator. I am here in the show.
Do they explain this guy? Because no. Like, I'm watching, with this KK Slider, like, just like, talk. I'm so, not Daddy, oh, you're curious about Gundams?
Like, where the narrator is an outside character, but then halfway through the arc, they execute him, hopefully. If my dream.
That would be fun. I think he is like a KK Slider, though, like, how when he comes to your island on a Friday, you can ask him like a genre of music and he'll usually have a song for it. And then with this, it's like you go up to the red suit guy and you're like, hey, what about, I don't know, Portugal? And he's like, oh, I have a Gundam for that. He's like, throws out some stupid design. And you're like, sure, yeah, I guess that sounds kind of like that song.
Yeah, it was the 90s. Meta narratives were very big. I think, I'm not sure I'm getting the dates right on this, but I think the G Gundam creators just read Infinite Jest and was like, we're doing it for Gundams.
Great.
We're doing everything that happens in this book, but it's got Gundams in it now.
Let's write this Gundam episode.
Yeah. Right. Great Gundam episode, everyone. Out of 7 Dragon Balls, what would you rate it? Starting with Jeremy J. Dog Hammond.
Better episode than usual.
Yeah.
I like that we saw Chibity again. I like that we saw a lot of our friends again, in fact. And I am gonna have to take away some points for depiction of trains. I don't understand how the train was powered. I can't change what they did.
They gave you something to talk about.
4 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Okay. All right. Let's do some guess. Emma, out of 7 Dragon Balls.
4, like, I mean, not that I understood what the anime was about. I guess in terms of the episode, I understood what was going on. It wasn't bad, but, like, it was just sort of there. I mean, I wasn't like, oh, man, I got to go back and watch all of them. This is a fun, engaging show. So, like, yeah, 4. It's there. I've seen worse. Definitely seen better.
It's funny you say that because this is probably one of the best episodes we've seen so far.
Oh, no.
Leslie, out of 7 Dragon Balls, what are you rating episode 13?
Oh, one Dragon Ball. Can you? Oh, can you do none? Can you do none?
You can do none.
I would.
Granted, you have not seen the other episodes of G Gundam. Just keep that in mind.
That's not. It's not my responsibility to keep the scale correct. We're doing this again. I'll give it a zero because. Well, no, I'll give it one because I actually kind of like the dub voice acting. I thought it was pretty good on the whole. But other than that, like, there was nothing worth watching or anything of value in the show, and I assume the series. I mean, even coming in, like, there nothing happened, but it was still very confusing, which is not a good combination, I believe.
It's hard to do. Katie, out of 7?
Well, you know how I feel about this show. I fucking hate it. But here's the thing. There was a fight where trains were thrown at each other. I thought that was kind of neat. Well, not neat. I thought it was funny. And I like that they finally let Rain use the Gundam, and I wish there were more Gundam lady pilots. And I genuinely...
There won't be.
I know.
More Gundam lady pilots.
You will never see it.
I said, I wish... I am... realistic. I'm just I know how this goes, so I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 7.
Okay, now I do grade on a heavy curve based on what I know the show will be like, because it's the worst show that's ever been made. But this one gets a lot of points for really clarifying how tight the suit is. A lot of Gundams and wacky Looney Tunes shenanigans, that gets a bunch of points. It does lose 2 full points for not making any sense even a little bit the entire time. And so I'll give it a 5 out of 7. I still had a great time watching it, I'll say that. And it's not just that I'm high.
I will say this was more watchable to me than other episodes in the past. Like, we've watched some episodes of the show, and it's like made me angry that you made me watch it.
Yeah. And that's called conditioning, and it's been attempted in mice.
Oh, the poor brutes.
Look at you brutes watch your animes like little weeaboos. All right. Well, that's going to be it for this week. Thanks so much for stopping by, Emma and Leslie.
Yeah. Do you guys have any plugs?
Yeah, patreon.com/strokelsession. Please subscribe and check us out.
Yay!
All right. Hooray. And this is behind our paywall, so I'm not going to do any plugs. But
yeah, fuck off with the plug.
I'd like to thank you, the listener. Thanks for coming around our little playpen. We sure look forward to seeing you again. And now...
weed-themed music, I'm sure.
And now a song of some kind. I keep my ideals with me. Not the man. What's going to everything I got that has to be. I believe you could rest on a kiss. I did what I don't want to say to Lee. Meaning of oil on a knife. Only you could also let the cut of the cotton. She got me off stage. That's key. So the demo kill more. It's a little bit. Take a toa. What's going on? What a song. Yari no question the love. Let's live.